Let us pray. Father God, we know that you are the God who loves us. Your word tells us, we hear it in the communion service. But so often, Lord, we can get lost and begin to lose perhaps some of the reality of that. And as we look at this theme of rejection today, Lord, help us to remember that you are the one who said you would never forsake us, even if our mothers did, that you would never forsake or forget us. In Jesus' name, amen. And so through January, we've been looking at Jesus and these to be's, for Jesus to die, Jesus to suffer, and here today to be rejected. So Christ knew rejection, but so, of course, does humankind. Jesus knew rejection as a man. He knew what it was to lose friends, to have people turn from him and walk the other way. In Mark 6, when he went to Nazareth, the people said, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offence at him. We also hear later in Luke's gospel that Jesus gave this warning, that first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. And even at his trial in Luke in 23, we hear these words, "Then the crowd, they all shouted out together, 'Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us.'" So Christ knew rejection from all quarters. We hear that even his family thought at times that he was mad, the things he was doing. But what of our rejection? What sort of rejection do we feel in this world? What rejections are we subject to? There are many different kinds, aren't there? On Sunday, I know because I listened to the talk on the internet that Rob gave about him being rejected by some of his peers. They didn't want to choose him to be in their team. And I must admit that as a teacher, I sometimes allowed children to choose people who they wanted in their teams. But when I think about it, that's a really hard thing to do. Because out of that sort of practice comes the feeling of rejection by others. A rejection that in some cases can be extremely damaging throughout life, depending upon how severe it was and the state of your own mind. For others, the rejection might be that of a mother. I mentioned that God said, "You know, even if your mother who weaned you forgets you, I won't." And of course, we have a growing number in our generation of children who are abandoned. And I was guilty of that myself, abandoning my twin daughters. I didn't see it as abandoning them. I saw it as giving them a life that I could never give them as a single parent from a home in which I had been abused. There was no way I could have taken my twins into the situation I lived in. I wouldn't put them in that danger. And so, when they were just 3 weeks old, I gave them up. In 1996, my children, my girls, found me. And it was actually another lady who rang me up. It was February the 13th. And she said, "Does the name Paula mean anything to you?" And I said, "Yes. It's the name I gave to one of my twins." And she says, "Well, she's now called Julie. The other one's called Jane. And they are looking for you. Will you see them?" And I said, "Yes, I would. I would love to see them." But I also said, "Before I see them, will you tell them that I gave them up, not because I didn't love them, but because I did?" And sometimes some of the decisions we make are hard ones, aren't they? You just hope that you're doing the best. Well, when my twins found me, it made one of my long-standing friends from the age of 18 decide that he wanted to find his mum. But his story was very different. He found his mum, knocked on her front door, and she told him to go away, that her family knew nothing about him, and she didn't want, even then, the shame of what she'd done. And so he came away, distraught. That meeting wasn't a happy ending for him, as it's not for others who find parents. Some it is good, as I'm sure you've seen, perhaps some of you see that programme on the telly, Finding Long Lost Family. Sometimes it turns out well, but for others it didn't, and it doesn't. And my friend actually found a support group that was called Twice Rejected, because that's how he felt and that's how others felt, that he'd felt that same rejection by his mother twice. Devastating. Devastating. I wonder what Jesus felt when he heard the crowd shout, "Away with this fellow, release Barabbas for us." For these were his people, the ones he'd come to save, who were rejecting him like a smack in the face. Awful. But we hear from that psalm in 118 that this was part of God's plan. The salvation of the world was to come through the one who was rejected. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, it says. It's marvelous in our eyes. Awesome. But is it something we can understand? That what God did, expected his son to do for him, was to be born into this world, to suffer in this world, to be rejected in this world, and to die a death on the cross. But of course, that story doesn't end there, does it? Because then the salvation is bought through that death on the cross, and Jesus rise again. This was something that Jesus tried to teach to his followers. And he started to do it with these words when Peter had come to that point of recognizing and confessing that Jesus was the Messiah. And at that point, Jesus turned his face to his fate, to Jerusalem, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. We know from what we heard about suffering that in Isaiah 53, we hear that that's what God's plan is, that he would be rejected. And again, in that Psalm 118. But also, in the second reading we had in that parable, because that parable is about God and his Son. And it is incredulous, the outcome of that story, because God is God. And in Isaiah 55, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God asked this of his Son because he knew that that was the way, as his Son was lifted up, that all people would come to him. For God is the one who was first rejected, rejected by Adam and Eve, rejected by the Israelites as they continually did as they wanted and went their own way. He sent messengers, as it says in Chronicles, but they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets. And in Zechariah, the people made their hearts adamant in order not to hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. So God, what is God to do? Well, it tells us in that parable. As those wicked tenants, first of all, killed or maimed or beat up those messengers who came to get the owner of the vineyards income, what was owed to him. And then he said, it says, and finally he sent his beloved Son. So here is God sending his Son to that time in Nazareth, in Jerusalem, when his Son died on the cross but rose again for us. Jesus was and is God's beloved Son. And we, as we believe, know that we are also beloved as the children of God. It is foolishness to those who don't believe, but for those who do, it's abundant life. And so I'm just going to finish with another reading. One written in the letter of Peter, the one who first recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And Peter writes, "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stays in Scripture, 'See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that builders rejected has become the very head of the corner. God's plan to bring us into his presence. The redeemed people of God. So let us pray. We thank you, O God, that through your word and through the teaching of others, we can come to know you and the fact that you truly love each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to spread that message by the lives we live and the words we say. In Jesus' name, amen.